Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, following their worst ever election defeat, Britain's Conservative Party embarked on a four-month process to decide on its next leader. Kemi Badenoch was unveiled last Saturday and she has already appointed her shadow cabinet and she's fronted her first Prime Minister's questions. So who is she, Kemi Badenoch? What does her leadership mean for the future of British politics? I'm joined by Whitehall editor with the Financial Times, Lucy Fisher, and associate editor at the Daily Mirror, Kevin Maguire. Thank you both for being with us. Before we have a chat, we'll take a listen to Kemi's opening gambit against the Prime Minister, Keir Starmer.
As leader of His Majesty's opposition, I will be taking a different approach to the last opposition by being a constructive opposition. And so I would like to start by congratulating President-elect Trump on his impressive victory this morning. The Prime Minister and the Foreign Secretary met him in September. Did the Foreign Secretary take that opportunity to apologise for making derogatory and scatological references, including, and I quote, "Trump is not only a woman-hating, neo-Nazi sympathising sociopath, he is also a profound threat to the international order." And if he did not apologise, will the Prime Minister do so now on his behalf?
Kevin, what did you make of that line of attack? Did she catch them on the hop there?
No. It was quite interesting because she said she'd be constructive. It's one of those lies told by all opposition leaders, whether you're conservative or Labour. And they were expecting that she'd raise Trump. But it's quite interesting because she said she doesn't believe in offence archaeology, going back and digging out what people have said in the past to use against them. Mainly she wants to protect herself on that. But of course, that's what she did with David Lammy and his comments on Trump 6 years ago. I think it's perfectly legitimate, but it does rather jar with what she said she would do. Mm-hmm. I think there are actions and there are words, and her actions and words don't quite marry.
Well, Lucy, I know you've been writing about Kemi Badenoch's combative style. It can get her into trouble. It has gotten her into trouble in the past. There's one more clip I want to hear now from PMQs yesterday, which emphasised that.
His scripted lines are showing that he has not even listened to the budget himself. So I will try a different question. Perhaps he can give something that is unscripted to the people watching. Yeah. Mr. Speaker, we have heard him repeat the lines on the television, fixing the foundations and so on. But what does he say, over and over again, but what does he say to farmers who are facing uncertainty about their futures as a result of the increased taxes announced by the Chancellor?
Prime Minister.
Happy to help the leader of the opposition. If she's going to complain about scripted answers, it's probably best not to read that from a script.
Oh, nice line from Keir Starmer there. Is that an illustration, Lucy, of how she can perhaps talk herself into trouble and an indication that she is likely to do that again?
I think it is. And we saw that repeatedly at the party conference in Birmingham last month, this four-day marathon of appearances by the leadership contenders, where Badenoch would say a sort of controversial line and then sort of argue with people when they want answer about it. So, for example, she said maternity pay is excessive. And then when people sort of said, well, you're questioning maternity pay and the level of it, are you? She said, you know, don't try and, you know, recast what I've said before then repeating it and going on to say that the minimum wage was potentially too onerous on businesses. So she does have this very argumentative style with all interlocutors, whether it's fellow politicians or journalists. And I think if she can learn to focus it in a focused way at the likes of PMQs against the Prime Minister, that's one thing. But she needs to sort of balance out this sort of pugilistic style with appearing a bit more kind of equanimous and calm and in control, I think.
Do you think she can do that, Kevin?
Possibly, but she has to learn. She doesn't lack confidence, but occasionally it just borders on the arrogant. And I thought she was underprepared and hadn't thought it through yesterday. For instance, she said that the Chancellor, Rachel Reeves, hadn't mentioned defence in her budget statement. That was easily disprovable because it was mentioned both in the oral statement of the House of Commons and it's in the document multiple times. And in fact, there's a 250-word section on defence and intelligence. And independent fact checkers pointed that out. She doesn't have the support of all her MPs. There are only 121 of them, 120 others. just over a third backed her at the three-horse race stage. So two-thirds didn't. And she's got to win them over. And I think she has to raise a game. She has to focus and concentrate and think it through, because that accusing Starmer of scripted answers, when you could see her head down reading the script saying that, it's schoolboy, schoolgirl errors, and she's got to cut them out. She's got to win over her own MPs before she wins over the country.
Yeah, but she does have the support of the grassroots, and that's how she was elected to the job. Lucy, will we go back a little bit, and maybe you might tell us more about Kemi Badenoch's early life, how she got into politics. What's her story?
Really interesting story, actually. Born in South London, but then grew up in Nigeria. Middle-class family, had a driver in Nigeria, returned to the UK as a teenager. And she has said, somewhat controversially, that she then became working class because she no longer had sort of quite as comfortable a lifestyle. She had to support herself by working in McDonald's. She studied for her A-levels in the UK. She then read engineering at Sussex University and then went on to a number of slightly different jobs working in the IT side at Coutts Bank. She was then working in the IT side of the Spectator magazine, and then got her first sort of proper break in politics in the London Assembly before becoming an MP in Essex. She's now MP for the seat of Northwest Essex. It's been quite a meteoric rise. You know, she only became an MP in 2015, so in less than a decade, she has risen to the top of the party via stints such as business secretary. That's one of her sort of main cabinet roles to date. And the way she prosecuted that, also quite interesting. She wasn't afraid to upset colleagues. In particular, she presided over some Brexit legislation, which initially was going to sort of strip out all EU laws from the UK statute book before the UK government, I think, realised that wasn't that just wasn't practical to do and would leave the you know, UK statute book with huge holes. But she did, the way she sort of told the ardent Brexiteers in her party that she was sort of reversing this plan or watering it down, went down very badly with them, and some have never forgiven her.
Mm-hmm. But it is an interesting challenge for Labour, Kevin, isn't it? The prospect of Kemi Badenoch. She's black, she's young, she's female. This is the Tory party breaking progressive ground that the Labour Party probably would have been expected to do before them.
Oh, no, you're absolutely right there. She's the fourth female leader of the Conservative Party. 124 years of Labour asking who's the best person to lead the party. They've always picked a man, a white man, which is rather embarrassing for them, because she's the second leader of colour in succession for the Conservatives. And they will have to try and weigh up how they handle her and target her. But they're not afraid of her. I think she was the better choice when she was up against Robert Jenrick. If Kemi Badenoch goes into an empty room, yes, you can start an argument. Robert Jenrick goes into an empty room and it would feel as if it was still empty. And so they've rolled the dice with her. But Lucy mentioned she worked at McDonald's when she was a student. And then she claims that made her working class. I mean, people were laughing at her about that. When I went to interview the late Duke of Edinburgh at the Buckingham Palace, it didn't make me a member of the royal family. But many students have jobs in pubs, restaurants, fast food outlets. And it doesn't change their class. I think she's really got to decide who she is, how she's going to pitch it, what she stands for, who she wants to appeal for. And that's all before she goes down the policy route, which she largely declines to do, although PMQ, she made a commitment to overturn Labour's tax on, really, it's not small farmers, it's big landowners. That's half a billion a year. She's already said a priority would be to restore tax breaks for private education. That's another 1.5 billion. She's going to have to start explaining where she'll find that money, what she'll cut or what she'll raise. But I thought she was off to a tricky start yesterday, and she didn't wow her MPs the way she should have.
Well, she's got to decide, Lucy, you know, what direction she takes the Conservative Party in now as she attempts to rebuild. I mean, does she fight for the political centre against Labour, or does she focus on the Reform Party, on Nigel Farage's party, and embark on that fight for the anti-migrant right-wing voter?
Yes. Well, in reality, she has to do both if the party is to have any chance of winning the next election. You know, they've just suffered their worst ever defeat in their history plunging from 365 MPs at the last election to just 121 in July. I mean, all the signals so far is that she is going to sort of tap right, that she's going to try and take on Nigel Farage and Reform UK. But as Kevin said, it's unusual in a way in her campaign. She set out very little policy. She said she wanted to take time to sort of draw up a very considered prospectus for government. She wanted to build a broad team to do so. So what she campaigned on was what she described as the sort of the values that would underpin her leadership. Freedom, citizenship, truth, personal responsibility, equality before the law. So we've got a sense that, you know, these are quite sort of classical, capital C conservative values. But, beyond the small sort of tax pledges she's made, you know, we don't know much about what she's going to do. But she has started some thinking around this idea that some of Britain's problems come down to what she calls the ballooning bureaucratic class. It's a sort of managerial class of people with jobs linked to the state who she thinks are sort of responsible for a rise in social intolerance in the UK, are driving the sort of focus on identity politics, which she very much rejects as a sort of crusader against what she sees as woke ideology. But she also thinks this bureaucratic class is responsible for an economic slowdown. So that feels like the sort of the crucible in which she's going to sort of build out a bigger vision for the state under a sort of Conservative government that she would lead.
Right, Lucy Fisher, thank you very much for joining us from the Financial Times, and Kevin Maguire from the Daily Mirror. We're going to take a quick break, back after this.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.